morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn student newspaper, the Daily Campus, UConn student TV station, UCTV, and us here at WUS Stores, UConn student radio station. I'm your host, Grace McFadden, and here's the news from UConn this week. On October 30th, students protested for reproductive rights outside of Rome Ballroom. I attended the protest to hear student voices on the debate. On Saturday, October 26th, UConn students and Mansfield community members held a rally outside the Rome Ballroom to protest a fundraiser for Caring Families Pregnancy Services. Caring Families, a pro-choice nonprofit group, is best known for their mobile care van, a crisis pregnancy center often seen parked on Fairfield Way. The protest began an hour prior to the start of the banquet with the roughly 50 attendants chanting in support of reproductive rights, and then moved on to speeches from the organizers and attendants. One person leading the chants was Ellie Lott, a fifth-semester psychology major and member of UConn Youth for Socialist Action. Lott helped organize the rally with Mansfield community members involved with the International Women's Strike.
And we're standing in solidarity with International Women's Strike, who organized this in the first place to show our support for everyone, all pregnant people who need access to health care and pregnant people who need access to abortions. Like, abortion is not just a women's issue, it affects more than just women.
The protest grew more heated as the afternoon progressed, eventually culminating with banquet-goers and protesters yelling at each other. This altercation was quickly neutralized by the police, however. This was not the first protest against Caring Families of the week. Their mobile care van, which was parked on the CL on Fairfield Way on Friday, October 25th, also drew protesters. President of Caring Families, Jeremy Bradley, refuted the protesters' claims. I'd like to address the literature they were passing out, as we found it to be deceptive, defamatory, and filled with misinformation, said Bradley in an email. We know it would be beneficial to UConn and its students for our services to continue, and it would be equally beneficial for us and the student group that protested if we could work together to fill the support gaps needed for students on campus. In addition to the mobile caravan, Caring Families also runs the Women's Center of Eastern Connecticut, a crisis pregnancy center. Because of this, one of the speakers at the fundraiser was Roland Warren, the CEO of CareNet. CareNet is a national network of crisis pregnancy centers, of which the Women's Center of Eastern Connecticut is an affiliate. A bill to ban deceptive advertising practices often used by crisis pregnancy centers gained traction in Connecticut legislature earlier this year. Bradley denied that Caring Families misinforms women. All our medical information we provide is accurate and cited, and we have never lied about medical information or how far along a pregnancy is, said Bradley. There's nothing false or misleading on our websites. The protest was about more than just misinformation, however. Senior cognitive science and anthropology major Catherine Morris said she went to the protest because she felt it was important for her voice to be heard as a woman of color.
Because reproductive justice is important to me as a woman, but not only that, but as a black woman whose rights are always infringed upon more than anyone else's. Hopefully we made a difference in making some people reconsider their involvement with these people, but if not, then we just put up a good stand against what we think is wrong.
Ash Bean, one of the organizers from International Women's Strike Connecticut, emphasized the importance of intersectionality at the event.
And that means that we have to consider issues of race, class, sexuality, ability when examining abortion policies. And we're here to make a stand because the evangelical groups do not recognize the intersectionality that is at play here. And they do not support equitable, comprehensive health care and child care for all people.
For WHUS News, I'm Grace McFadden. November 5th was election day across the country. In Mansfield, 11 people ran for 9 available seats on the town council. Those who won the seats were Democrats Ben Shagan, Peter Koschenberger, Samuel Bruder, Terry Berthelot, Antonia Moran, and Ronald Schurin, and Republicans David Freudman, Alfred E. Frittoni, and Charles J. Ausberger. Also on the ballot was the one school referendum. This proposal consolidates the 3 current Mansfield elementary schools into one new net zero school building. Mansfield has been a leader in the state when it comes to environmentalism, the town being one of the first in the state to institute a plastic bag ban. The proposal outlines plans to build the first publicly funded net zero energy school in Connecticut. The referendum passed with 2,499 yes votes and 1,197 no votes. On Monday, professor and head of the University of Connecticut Department of Civil Environmental Engineering, Maria Krisuku, was honored at the 26th Annual Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame Ceremony. Daily Campus correspondent Nayela Suleman sat down with Krisuku about her accomplishments. The theme of the ceremony was Woman, a Force for Nature, and it was meant to honor women chosen for their work in the field of environmental conservation and sustainability. Krisuku is the first female department head at UConn School of Engineering. She told Suleman that she seeks to empower young women with her work. Krisuku said that the most important aspect of all this is that she gets to be a role model for students and young girls. In addition to this honor, Krisuku's department was also awarded with a $2 million grant from the National Science Foundation to expand their programs to embrace neurodiversity in students. She looks forward to improving her department with this grant. Food insecurity at UConn has been a hot topic on campus recently. UCTV News Director Luke Hydash has the story.
Joking that dinner is going to be another night of ramen is something all college students do, but that's called food insecurity, something one UConn group says is a real problem.
Students have until November 6th to fill out the annual food insecurity survey put out by the Dean of Students Office, thanks in part to UConn Access to Food Efforts, or UCafe for short, co-founders Wawa Gaturu and Abhishek Gupta.
And it was while doing an independent study on college campus food insecurity that I saw that there was a gap in the information that's been collected, not only from UConn, but other public institutions of higher education in regards to access to food and food security.
Food insecurity is not knowing where your next meal will come from, and it's catching the attention of lawmakers. Now, by law, public universities must survey students to gather data and see how bad the problem is on each campus.
And from the data that we collect, the UConn institution, as well as the UCafe coalition that we've created on the side of students, which includes tier three organizations like USG, PIRG, and SUBOG, we're all gonna use the data to kind of help create initiatives to help solve this problem on campus.
The big goal?
The end result that we really want to see happen is the creation of a permanent food pantry on campus.
For UCTV News, I'm Luke Hydash.
Almost 130 residents of Mansfield Apartments lost power last Friday, November 1st, following a storm. As reported by Daily Campus News editor Gabby D. Benedictus, a power line fell on a guardrail, causing outages for Mansfield Apartments, among others, on Route 195. Also affected were Sprague Residence Hall and Shippey Residence Hall, but power returned to those areas.
Hi, everybody. I'm UCTV News.
There were no evacuations or class cancellations due to the downed power line. Power was restored to Mansfield Apartments around 4 p.m. on Friday. Now for the weather. The weather for today looks mostly sunny with a high near 36. Tonight will be clear with a low around 18. Tomorrow looks like sun with a high near 38, turning to partly cloudy in the evening with a low near 27. Sunday will be partly sunny. The high will be around 50. That's all we have for news this week. Thanks for tuning in. We will now take a short break before moving on to our talk segment. This week, we'll be talking with WHUS News Director Kara Murray.
The UConn Archives present In a Manner of Speaking, an evening celebrating discourse in the archives, Wednesday, April 24th, 2019, from 6 to 8 p.m. Located at the Thomas J. Dodd Research Center, the Archives Open House will engage viewers with a presentation of the nuances of discourse through written, oral, and visual materials. This event will provide a snapshot focused on various modes of expression preserved in the UConn libraries, archives, and special collections. For more information, contact archives at uconn.edu. You're listening to 91.7 WHUS Stores.
WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and the guests, and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. This week we have WHUS News Director Kara Murray talking to us. Hey, Kara.
Hey, Grace, can you turn my mic on?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
All right.
Cool.
Great.
Can you turn my volume up?
Yes.
Perfect.
Great. Oh, my headphones aren't plugged in, so that's, you know.
You know what? It's fine.
Yes, this is radio. Okay.
This is, welcome to the radio.
Thank you. I can hear you and you sound good.
Great. Excellent. All right, Kara. I was wondering, when did you join WHUS?
Sorry, just adjusting the sound real quick. That's a great question. I first joined WHUS 2 years ago, so my sophomore year. So I originally joined... All right, let's back up. Okay, hold on. So much is happening right now. I originally joined my freshman year. First semester. I got air cleared, I went to the training classes, and this is no shade thrown at the guys who I mentored with, but they didn't teach me how to record an air check. Like, people would just be like, oh, when you record your air check, you'll do this, and you'll do this, and blah blah blah. And I was like, I don't know what that means. So I just never kind of got around to doing it, but I was like on the staff page, I was getting the updates, I just wasn't involved. So then, I'm a journalism major, for those who don't know. And so I was like, you know what, I don't really want to join the Daily Campus or UCTV. Like, I joined the radio, I should go back and see, because I heard they had a news department, so I was like, I should check it out and see what happens. So this was my sophomore year, and I went to a news department meeting, and I met everybody, and long story short, here I am, running it now.
That's very cool.
Who would ever thought? I'm going to put these back on, so we can hear.
Cool. Yeah, so...
So that's my story.
Yeah, that's very cool. So how did you decide that you wanted to become the news director? Did you just
I just took over. I actually had no idea. Our old news director, Daniela, She pulled me aside around this time last year because she was like, I have goals for everybody in this department in mind. And I was like, oh, what's your goal for me? And she was like, well, my goal is to have you take over. And I was like, what?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was like, so intimidating. Sorry. It was very intimidating. And she was like, yeah, so throughout the year, I'm going to be grooming you to take over, which was, you know, interesting choice of words. Love you, Daniela. Yeah. But I was like, okay. And so I was glad she told me at the beginning of last year because that kind of gave me a full year to come to terms with the job and observe her more closely and see what she does. And she does a lot. She did a lot. So. And it also helped that she and a couple other WHUS people went to Vegas for a week for some conference. So while she was gone, I took over for the week last semester, and I got to kind of see what it was like. And it was very stressful, but it was very fun. And yeah, I was like, you know what? If she wants me to do it, everybody here wanted me to do it. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. So I applied and got it. So that was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite part about working here at WHUS?
Oof, I have so many favorite parts. My favorite part about being news director is helping people kind of create really cool packages, especially when they catch on really quickly. Like for you, you caught on very quickly.
Thank you.
And it didn't take much editing on my part for your stories. And I could tell that you were like really into it and really willing to learn, and the end result was a really cool package. So that's probably the best part, is kind of helping people make really cool stuff and teaching them how to use the equipment. And like one of our other people in the department, Claudia, I was showing her how to create a multi-track, and she was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I was like, that was my reaction when I first learned. Like, it is so cool to kind of edit audio, which sounds very nerdy, but that's how you know you're in the right place. So I'd say that's my favorite part about being news director. And my favorite part about working at WHUS in general is that all of my friends work here. So it's very fun to just kind of come and hang out and be surrounded by so many very cool people.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So did you ever have your own show here at WHUS?
I have my own show this year. It's called Peanut Butter and Jams. It's on Monday nights at 6. So if you want to check that out, feel free. But yeah, I'd never had a show. My original goal was to get a show, and then I didn't really know how to go about it. So once I got air cleared for the new show, this show, I was like, there's really nothing stopping me from getting my own show. that I can do my own thing on. And I was like, senior year, like, might as well go all out and do it. And now I love it. I look forward to it every week. And I love being able to play my music. And I like that the thing that I originally joined this organization to do is something that I'm finally doing. So yeah, it all kind of worked out. I hear that you have your show now. You've got your own show.
Yes,
very
I do.
Cool. Do you want to talk about that? That's
yeah,
very awesome.
I'm starting my show tonight for the first time. It's like very nerve-wracking because I feel like I'm going to go in and screw it up, which might happen.
You know, I've screwed up many things in that studio and I'm still here. So
yeah, I know. I've been like, I know that if I mess up, you know, it's not the end of the world. But I'm really excited. I don't know. I was looking forward to joining the radio station, like, a lot coming into college because I'm a huge fan of radio. That sounds kind of silly, but I am, like...
We're all here for the same reason, Grace. It's not silly.
Yeah. I am, like, a huge fan of the radio, huge NPR fan. So that's why I wanted to join. And I also am a big music person. So I was very, very excited to join. I wasn't sure what I was going to do originally for the show. Honestly, at this point, I'm still not sure. I just know I'm going to go play the music that I have on my playlist,
yes.
And we'll see what happens. But yeah.
What's the name of the show?
My show is called The Grim Particulars. It's named after a lyric in a song because I thought that was fitting. Because it's the radio station.
Yes.
It's from the song Collapsing Stars by the Mountain Goats, which is like my favorite band.
Oh, I like them.
Yes. Yeah.
I know that song, Up the Wolves.
Yes, Up the Wolves. That's a really good one.
That is a good one.
I love that song. Yeah. So I'll be playing. That'll be my first song that I'm playing tonight, actually.
Cute. That's really nice.
Thank you.
How exciting.
Yes, it's very exciting. Yeah, so I was really excited because I'm kind of like a huge playlist person, too. Mm,
same.
So, like, I have like 120 Spotify playlists.
Oh, wow.
And every time that I, like, tell that to someone, they're like, I can't believe
that.
I
is a lot of playlists.
They can't like understand why. I say it's because, you know, I have to have one for every single mood, every single reason.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Yeah, so my original plan for my show was that I was just going to honestly go through my Spotify and be like, here are all of my playlists for every single reason why I have one of my playlists. And then I realized that some of my playlists are only like 3 songs long, so that probably would not have worked out.
True, very true.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm very excited for tonight. That's very cool.
Yeah, sounds like it'll be very fun. Maybe I'll tune in. I think I'm not doing anything at 10 p.m. tonight besides like not doing homework, so I'll definitely
tune
in. Yeah,
I know. I figure that most people aren't going to be like, you know what? Wednesday night, 10 p.m., this is exactly when I'm going to tune into the radio station.
Yep, this is a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. But it is during Safe Harbor, which is nice.
Yes, that's a key. That's a very cash hour to get.
Yeah, I was very surprised that no one had taken it, especially considering, don't you guys pick show times at the beginning
yeah,
of the year?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I was surprised that no one had taken that, but maybe people just want to do their stuff during the day. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Wednesdays for some people are like, most homework days, club meetings.
Yeah.
So.
Understandable, yeah.
You know, you lucked out, so who even cares why they didn't pick it?
Yeah, I know. It's really exciting, though. I'm very excited. I've been, like, at my high school, we had, like, a newspaper, and I've since joined the newspaper here, but,
Yes, she double dips.
Yes, we obviously didn't have a radio station like most high schools, so it was something that I was like really looking forward to because it's like a totally new and fun experience.
Yeah, it's definitely very fun here. It's a nice little community here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very cool place to be, and I feel like it always gets you clout for some reason. Like if you say, oh, I work at the TV, and you know what I mean, you know, we love UCTV in the DC. This is no shade to them.
No shade.
But if you say, I work at the radio station, people are automatically like, that is so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because I think we've got a pretty good rep on campus for giving out free stuff, having concerts, doing the thing. Yeah, so it's always really cool.
Actually,
people are like,
Yeah, speaking of that, did you know that Wuss is the only tier 3 that Obama follows on Twitter?
No. What? Obama follows us?
Yeah.
Obama has to see what Aiden and I tweet?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I, like, look at the tweets sometimes.
Yep, that's me and our operations manager, Aiden.
Yeah, you guys had a tweet that was like, it's fall, go eat a leaf.
That was me. Happy fall. Remember to eat a leaf.
And Obama follows that.
Obama has seen my handiwork.
Yeah, because wow. I saw that because I was like looking on Twitter and I was looking at the Twitter and someone was following it who I like didn't expect. So I looked at like the followers, you know, and I saw Obama and I was like, I wonder if he follows like any other tier three on campus.
Oh
but
my goodness. I can't believe that's the one thing we can hold over the other tier three's heads.
Yeah, that and also NPR, like the official NPR followers.
Yes, we do get along with NPR. Mm-hmm. They do like us.
Yeah.
For reasons unknown.
Yeah, but I thought that was very, very interesting.
That's so awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the radio station is probably one of the cooler tier threes. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in, I was expecting it to be like, I don't know. I feel like when I was younger, I thought about like working at a college radio station. I know that sounds like weird, but when I was in like middle school was when Pitch Perfect was really popular.
Yep. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. And so there's, for those unfamiliar, the main character in Pitch Perfect meets her love interest, I believe, at the radio station at her college. And yeah, I just thought that was super cool when I was like 12 years old.
Yep, same. Yeah, I used to want to like go on to become a DJ, mm-hmm. like as a real life job.
Yeah.
And now I realize that that's a little bit unrealistic. But you know what? SiriusXM, call me.
Yeah.
What are they called? Alt Nation? I would love to work for Alt Nation.
Alt Nation.
I could do a better job.
Yep. I think that's the one they play in Whitney. Whitney.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, they play that one in Whitney, and then they've got a different one they play in the rec center that always throws me off, because whenever you're in like the rec center bathroom, they're always playing some random SiriusXM station. It's always the one with Ryan Seacrest, and I didn't even realize that he was like still. I was about to say I didn't realize he was still alive. I knew he was still alive.
He's kicking still. Ryan's out there somewhere.
No, yeah, I just didn't realize he was still like doing stuff, and I was like showering at the rec center, and then all of a sudden I heard Ryan Seacrest like coming on the radio
to
talk
so
about
jarring.
It's like, what is going on?
Ryan, keep your distance.
Yeah, exactly.
Do not interact.
Yeah, the series that I always think it's so like interesting when like UConn places play radio stations because it never fits. They can never make it fit.
Never.
I have a friend who always tweets about my friend Gia always tweets about the music in Whitney. Because it's always just so jarring. The other day they were playing Lady Gaga at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Like what?
Sometimes you walk in. He said that the other day they were playing metal on Halloween. They weren't even playing music. They were just playing like kind of spooky ambiance noises.
Oh wow.
Like it was just like bass. And then occasionally there would be like screaming. And I had to like get work done. And I was sitting there and I was like,
this is not helping.
This is not the move. This is not the vibe.
UConn, do better with your music choice. Let us do it for
you. Yeah, exactly.
Just, I don't know why they're not all playing 91.7 FM.
Actually, that would make so much more sense.
Yeah.
Literally, though, like, when I go, at least in the rec center, like, it kind of makes sense because they usually play, like, the top 10, like, the charts for the week or whatever. And so it's, like, upbeat. It's pop music. Kind of makes sense for a gym.
Mm-hmm.
But in Whitney, it just is so incongruous all of the time.
Yeah.
They really just should play our station.
They really should.
Yeah.
I take spinning classes at the rec center, mm-hmm. and one of the instructors that I go to, she always plays like the weirdest remixes. Like one time we were getting warmed up and I heard the opening notes of that song Fireflies, and I was like, very sick, I love Fireflies. But instead of the lyrics, it was the lyrics to Photograph by Nickelback, set to the beat of Fireflies by Owl City. And I was like, does nobody else, like, understand the gravity of the situation?
Did no one else react?
No one else reacted. I was sitting there on my bike looking around, like, what is going on? And nobody moved. And I was like, the international implications this has. Everybody needs to be paying attention to this right now.
I would have been so thrown off. I feel like going to, like, a fitness class, if they're playing anything other than, like, super, like, high-tempo pop or just, like, electronic music, I just get entirely thrown off. Even if she had played, like, normal Fireflies, I feel like I would have been slightly thrown off.
Yeah.
But especially that, where would you even find that?
I know. Who made that?
Mm-hmm.
God turned his back on us the day we made that remix.
Yeah, we...
Honestly.
Yeah, not to talk about another Tier 3 on the air of WHUS.
Let's do it.
But at the Daily Campus, while we're making the paper, there are a few people who love to play those kinds of remixes.
Oof.
And I should bring that one in because there are so many more cursed remixes online than you would ever realize.
I believe it. I don't want to find them.
The one that they always play is the Thomas the Tank Engine theme with I Write Sins Not Tragedies.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You're like, that's a classic.
We're familiar with that one over here.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with the photograph. And
yeah. It honestly felt like a fever dream. I was like, am I actually here listening to this? Am I hearing something different from everyone else?
Honestly, it would have been more like, it just would be just adding to the effect that just no one else notices. Because, you know, they're probably, like, in it. They're cycling. They're spinning away. You know?
Not me. I'm always paying attention to who is playing what music.
I know. Like, whenever I go to, like, the fitness classes, I actually haven't been to a fitness class at the rec center yet. But, like, when I go to fitness classes outside of the rec center, I, like, that's the only thing I can focus on. Because if I start to focus on what I'm actually doing,
then
I'm like,
this die.
Sucks.
You just get, exactly.
So much.
You just get out of breath. You're like, ugh, when I'm hearing the lyrics or the music, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm alive for now.
Yeah, I don't understand people who can just, like, go to spin classes or, like, point classes or whatever it is and just, like, focus on what they're doing. The only time that I've ever, like, tried to do that is yoga, and that never works out either because I feel like I always end up thinking about something else.
Yeah.
This is why I do, like, sports instead of doing, like, classes because I just cannot focus for that long.
Same. My mind just wanders during yoga, during anything, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But in spinning and, like, kickboxing or Pilates, it's helpful because then I'm not concentrating on the suffering.
Yeah.
So.
Kickboxing is cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, how long have you been doing that?
I've only done it a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like super cool. I actually had a friend who asked me to do that, but I was like kind of scared because she seems like she knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was like, oh, I've never like been kickboxing before. And I was like, are you sure? Because she was like talking about it. And I was like, are you positive you've never been to kickboxing before? Because she really seemed like she knew what she was talking about. And I was like, I don't know if I'm like totally up for that. Like, you know, I've got other things. And she was like, it's fine. I'll just find someone else. And I was like, okay. Yeah. I don't know. It seems cool. I feel like it's a little too much though. I do fencing, so I feel like doing like
that's right.
Yeah, fencing and kickboxing would be like kind of a lot.
That is so sick.
That'd be such like a weird way to introduce myself.
What made you want to do fencing? Like, how did you get into that? How long have you been doing it?
So actually, I started my freshman year of high school, and the story is that my parents had this rule for me, which is that I had to do three sport every season. I always say three sports a season, not three sports a season.
They're not that crazy.
They're not that crazy. But the rule was that I had to do a sport every season, except for the summer usually, but like I had to have an after school sport essentially. And so I've done soccer my whole life, so that was pretty much like a no-brainer because I've done that since I was like 5, and then I got to high school and I didn't have a winter sport. And so I was choosing between a few things, and I knew a few people who had done fencing, like a few upperclassmen. And so, yeah, I just kind of joined, and I ended up really, really loving it. I became captain in my senior year, and it's, like, a super cool sport. I always endorse, like, everyone trying it. It is super, super fun. I am on the club team here at UConn now. Shout out to UConn FC, UConn Fencing Club. Yeah, it's really great, though. The community of people who fence is always like super inclusive and super welcoming, especially to beginners. And like, I don't know, I've met a lot of beginners who are like adults. I don't know, it's really cool. I love it a lot. It's very nice.
It is very cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think we are just about out of time.
Yeah, looks that way. Everyone, this was Grace's first time hosting, so round of applause for her.
Yeah, thank you.
She did a fabulous job.
Thank you all for listening, and thank you for Kara for coming on the show. Also, thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us on this show, and to Ethan Smith for our theme music. I've been Grace McFadden. Have a great weekend. This has been Husky Nation News on WHUS Stores.